Glad to have you with us this morning if you're visiting. Delighted to have each and every one of you with us as we get ready to start another year of school. I want you to open your Bibles with me. We're not going to give you an opportunity to turn to a lot of passages except at the beginning and at the end. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20 is the great commission given by Jesus to his apostles. Telling them to go and to make disciples of all nations. Mark repeats the same great commission and says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And from time to time, individuals will come to me and say, if I want to teach somebody, how do I go about that and where do I start? Is there a place in the Bible that I can go to and start there and begin to teach somebody the gospel of Jesus Christ? And the answer is yes, and there's a lot of them. And matter of fact, it's just about anywhere you want to start. As long as you know what you're doing, or not knowing what you're doing, but know where you're going. If you know where you're going, then you know where to start. And Jesus helps us with the idea of knowing where we're going. Where are we going? We're going to make them followers of Christ. And what helps in knowing where to start is, where are they? And depending upon where they are they a believer in God? Are they a believer in the Bible? Are they a believer in Jesus Christ? If they are all of those things, then you're a great way down the road toward bringing them to be a disciple of Christ. And all that you have to do is figure out where they are and what's yet lacking and what God says to do. And depending upon if they were Jews, the Apostle Paul and the other apostles who were traveling would go into the synagogues, and there they would talk to Bible believers and God believers and introduce them to the Messiah that God said was coming. But when God goes to a place like Athens, where they are not believers in God, he starts with God. And he brings them to an understanding of God. And then he brings them to an understanding of the one God has appointed and God has chosen that all men are going to stand in front of. So what I'd like to do this morning is to kind of help us with the idea of what we need to be about when we're teaching somebody. And I wanted to start with one of these passages where we can start here and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 28, starting with verse 18 through 20. And I want you to read it with me. And I want you to kind of follow along as to what Jesus is doing. Jesus came and he spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. What's he saying there? Well, the next thing is, go therefore and make disciples. So the fact that he has been given all authority in heaven and earth is the reason why all men must become his disciples and his followers, which is the reason why we need to be bringing individuals to be disciples and followers of Christ, because all authority has been given to him. Now, depending upon the knowledge of the individual that you're talking with, you can back up and start over again in verse 18. When Jesus says, all authority has been given to me, who gave it to him? And I'm going to raise questions, and I'm not going to really answer all of them because you know the answer. And the thing that I want you to be encouraged by, and I want you to see as we go through this lesson, is how much knowledge you already have. And how much knowledge and information you already have to do everything that we're going to talk about this morning. You know exactly who gave Jesus all authority. Okay, second question. What does it mean to have all authority? When he says he has all authority, what does he mean that he has all authority over? Verses come to mind, such as, every knee will bow before him. Verses come to mind like, he has authority over death. He's our creator. He has authority over everyone by right of creation. He has authority over all of us because he has authority over our sin. And he's going to be the one that we stand in front of and give an account of. So many different things come to mind throughout what the Bible teaches. And because he has all authority, Jesus says, go make disciples. What's that mean? A person who is committed to following Christ. A person who was willing to devote himself to Christ and understands that Christ is his Lord and Christ is his King and Christ will be his ultimate judge. So you go make disciples of all nations. Those who are willing to be his followers, you baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then you teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. You teach them everything I've commanded you, so they will know how to live. So they will know how to worship. So they will know what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. So there's some categories that every single one of us have to go through in order to become a follower of Jesus Christ. And it's those categories that we need to keep in mind. Whenever we're trying to decide, what do I need to say? Where do I need to start? How do I need to teach this person? And here are the categories that we need to look at and evaluate. We start with God. What do we say about God? What do you know about God? What we say about God is that he's the creator. He made every single one of us. And he created us with a purpose. And nothing points out the fact that we are here for a purpose and a reason than to understand that we're going to stand before him and be judged by him. If we're going to be judged by him, we've been created by him, and in the end we're going to be judged by him, what's he expecting of us between the beginning of our life and standing before him? There's a purpose. There's a reason we're here. And we're going to be held accountable for it. And every single one of us are that way. And then this God who created us has spoken. He's spoken through the world that he's made. Can you think of places that you would go in the Bible? Are things you would say that would help these individuals to be able to see that? And he has spoken in his word. He has given us the Bible to let us know his mind and to let us know his heart, to let us know what he thinks and to let us know what he wants and to let us know what he's done. This is our God. Some of the people that you talk with may already fully understand all of this and completely believe it. Some may not. And so you, like Paul in the city of Athens, you start with God. Let them know who God is. And then you go to sin. Something happened. Something happened, and what happened was this. We did not honor him as creator. We did not consider ourselves his creature. That's the way we live our lives. We did not listen to him. We did as we chose instead of doing as he directed. That's bottom line what sin is. And the Bible gives us a great deal of detail as to what that sin is, but bottom line, this is it. This is what happened with Adam and Eve. This is what's happened and what continues to happen with every single one of us. And when we do this, when we don't honor him as creator, when we consider ourselves not his creature, but living our own life, then we are missing the mark of God's will. We did not listen. We chose not to do as we wanted to, not as he directed, and we missed the mark, meaning we fell short of the glory of God. We fell short of glorifying God, and we fell short of the glory that God intended for us to have in living for him and being what he would have us to be. You have to know the bad news to understand the good news. And the good news then comes. And we talk about Jesus. Who is this Jesus? He's the Messiah that was written about in all the prophets. He's the Messiah that was written about throughout the entire Old Testament. The one that's coming. The one who was going to give his life as a ransom for our sin. The one who is the King, the one who is our Savior. Isaiah 53, he paid the penalty for our sins. All the punishment that was supposed to come to us came to him. And he died in order that we might have eternal life. Well, when a person becomes convinced that Jesus is that Messiah and that Jesus is the Son of God, then what are we to do? Turn to God and listen to Him. Can you think of verses that say that? It's stipulated all through the book of Acts. It's stipulated all through the accounts of the gospel and the letters. We believe in Jesus. We put our trust in Him. We come to the point where we turn our lives over to Him. We acknowledge Him and His Word. And we're not afraid to acknowledge Him publicly. We confess Him. We acknowledge Him and His Word and what He has said in everything that we do in life and in every place that we go, and we are baptized into Christ. There's two verses I want you to think about in connection with being baptized into Christ, because sometimes we have a hard time getting the idea across about what is happening here. Being baptized into Christ carries with it the idea and the image of being overwhelmed with Christ. Being overwhelmed with Christ by going through a likeness of His death, burial, and resurrection. And when we are baptized into Christ, we die to ourselves and we go through a burial, which is an immersion in water, and we rise from that immersion to walk in a new way of living. In the eyes of God, we're now in Christ, but also because we now belong to Christ, and now we live for Him. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter was asked by those who had heard his explanation that the Messiah, the Lord, was Jesus, the one they had crucified. And now this was the day that whoever called on the name of the Lord could be saved. And they responded, "How do we do that? What shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And he says that in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. But if you turn over to Acts chapter 4 and verse 7, Peter and John are called before the Sanhedrin because they had healed a man. And when they come before the Sanhedrin asked them, "By what power or by what authority have you done this?" And Peter says, "If you want to know by what power or by what authority we have made this man who was sick well, let it be known to you and let it be known to all of Israel that by the power or in the name of Jesus Christ, this man stands." Peter said when he performed the miracle, "Don't think we did this because of any goodness of ours own or any ability that we have. This man stands before you healed by faith in Jesus Christ. Because of their faith in Jesus, this man was healed." So I want you to think about this definition that is given to us in these two verses of "in the name of." Baptized in the name of Jesus is saying the same thing as baptized into His power. Baptized in the name of Jesus is the same thing as being baptized in His authority. And they have a twofold idea. Being baptized in the name of Jesus means being baptized into the power of Jesus Christ. The power of His death. The power of the forgiveness that is in His death when He shed His blood. The power of the life that He lived. Meaning that if I follow Him and I do as He teaches, I will not do anything wrong, but I'm going to do wrong. And every time I do wrong, it's because I wasn't listening to Him. It's because I chose not to follow what He said. But when I do what He says in the way that He teaches us to do it, then I'm not going to be wrong, because He never was. He never committed any sin. And when I am baptized into Christ, I am baptized into His authority. I'm under Him. I'm under His control. I'm under His protection. I'm under His guidance. And baptized into His authority means I have submitted myself totally and completely to Him. I have submitted myself totally and completely to His authority and made Him to be the King over everything about my life. We know those things. And those things, we can think of verses all through the Bible that will help us to see them. And when I come into Christ, I become a part of His people. I'm a part of a kingdom. I'm a part of a body. I'm a part of a family. God wants us to meet together. God wants us to be with one another. He wants us to give preference toward our family in Him more than over anyone else in the world. He wants us to take the Lord's Supper together. He wants us to assemble together. He wants us to be a body that works together and to be an active part of that body. He also tells us how we are to live. Last part of the book of Ephesians spells out in detail some practical things we are to do and things we are not to do as a part of being faithful to Christ and living the way that Christ would have us to live. He tells us how we are to worship. He tells us about our singing and our praying with the spirit and the understanding. Detailed information is given regarding worship and how we're to do it by Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians, by Jesus as he talked to the woman at the well, where we worship the woman, where we worship Jesus in spirit and in truth. And Jesus does all of these things for us in the Bible, and that's how we bring somebody to be a follower of Christ. We talk to them about God. We talk to them about sin. Show them what the Bible says about it. We explain to them Jesus, what He's done for us. And when we come into Jesus, that it makes us a part of His spiritual body. And that we are to live for Him and glorify Him. And we are to worship God in Christ in the way that God has directed and the way that God has designated. And those are the key points that all of us must follow in order to bring somebody to Christ. There aren't any others. There are more details to those things. There are more details that we can give. But this is what is meant when we bring somebody to Christ. And we go through the same procedure every time. It may be different verses. It may be different emphases. It may be different things that are said depending upon the person that we're talking to. But we're going to bring them to a knowledge and understanding of God, a knowledge and understanding of sin and what it's done to us. And we're going to bring them to a knowledge and understanding of Jesus and what He's done for us. And we're going to tell them what it means to be in Christ and what it means to live for Christ. And that's what we're going to do. And when we ask, how do I do this? That's it. That's what you do. And you find the verses that best apply to the individual that you're talking to in order to help them to be able to see and understand what God is teaching. But keep in mind, that doesn't mean they're going to listen. And we're going to say a little bit more about that tonight. And it's not your responsibility to make them listen. Every one of us have a responsibility to listen. And we're looking for the ones who want to listen. And Jesus, in essence, says, if they don't listen, then stop wasting your time. And go to somebody else. And find the ones that want to listen. Here are some verses. If you want to know, where can I go in order to start teaching somebody the gospel? Well, you can go to Matthew 28, 18 through 20. You can go to Acts chapter 2 and look at what Peter is doing and understand what he's doing. He's quoting from a passage in the book of Joel where God made a promise. He was going to pour out His Spirit, and on the day He poured out His Spirit, that would be the day that whoever called on the name of the Lord would be saved. And Peter says, what you're seeing us apostles do is God having poured out that Spirit. This is the day you can call on the name of the Lord and be saved. And so they want to know who's the Lord. And so he says, here he is. And then they want to know, what do we do to call on his name? And then he tells them. And Acts chapter 2 is one of those places. You could start in Acts chapter 8, which is the Ethiopian and Philip. And the Ethiopian is reading from Isaiah 53, which means you could start in Isaiah 53. But in Acts chapter 8, 26 through 40, you have detail given about what Philip did, starting with that passage in Isaiah 53. And what did he say to him when he preached to him Jesus? What did he say to him about Jesus? And then there's this one. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. If you've never considered this one, let me introduce it to you, or let me bring it to your attention. Ephesians chapter 2, starting with verse 1, going through verse 11. These are such important verses, but there are so many of them. There's some in every account of the gospel. There's some in almost every letter, places where you can start. But in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, it says this. You were dead What does that mean? Separated from God. No longer considered by God to belong to Him. No longer His. No longer protected. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the air, and of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. You were listening to the devil, but you didn't know it. You were listening to the devil and to the spirit of disobedience that permeates the world, but you didn't know it. What is that spirit of disobedience? Next verse. Among them, we too all formerly lived doing what we wanted to do. We lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, the thoughts. We did whatever we thought about doing. We did whatever we wanted to do. And were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. We were by very nature, because we weren't honoring the Creator. We didn't consider ourselves His creature. We considered this life ours, that we would do with this life what we wanted to. That's what Paul is saying. And we were by nature, by the very nature of who we were, people of wrath. In other words, we were about to be destroyed by God. And then verse 4, but God, being rich in His mercy, because He wanted to save us, because He loved us, made us alive together with Christ. And we talk about what Christ has done and what Christ has done for us and what it means to come to Him. And this is a place that we can start when we want to talk to somebody about the gospel of Jesus Christ. But know where we're going, know how to get there, know how to take them there, know how to show them the verses that talk about it. That's all you need to know. And you already have that knowledge. You know how to do it 100 times different than what we've talked about this morning. But it's the same pattern and outline that we follow. Have you come to Christ? Are you still dead in your trespasses and sins? Have you been washed in the blood of Christ? Are you ready to become a Christian today? Or do you need to come home to Christ? If you need to respond to His invitation this morning, we offer it to you as together we stand and as we sing.